that they didn't test it on animals, and it was given emergency approval. And the reason they didn't test it on animals is because mRNA vaccines, by their previous testing they'd done on animals when they were developing these things over the last sort of 10 years, they killed the animals.
Welcome back to Grind America Outlawed. This week we're going to be chatting with Gareth Icke from across the pond. Of course, he's the son of David Icke. We'll also be having on the show. Recently, we did have him. Some of you guys probably noticed we had him booked, and we ended up changing that. That was because he took a week off, which is fine. And we're going to have him on. We're going to circle back around and have him on sometime in April. That being said, this is a fantastic chat with Gareth Icke. Coming at you just a little bit early because I'm traveling this weekend, so this is going to come at you a couple of days earlier than usual. The reason I want to mention that, because no one ever complains about an early show, but that means there's going to be a little longer in between the shows than you guys are used to, because this show is going to come out Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, and then the next show next week will be pushed back to the regular
Thursday, Friday
release date of Thursday, Friday. So I just wanted to mention that now. That's just because we got some great shows coming up. It's not because of a lack of content. True Watt coming out next week. It's just because we're traveling. So,
do you want to talk about anything else like Rockfin or where they can get these streams?
If they want to watch the streams, they got to go to rockfin.com/GrowAmerica.
The first half, yeah.
For the first half, that's the only thing that streams there. And if you want to get the full shows, you got to go to GrowAmericaOutlawed.ca and sign up there. And yeah, this chat with Gareth Icke.
Yeah.
So he used to play pro football, right?
No, not pro. Soccer? I don't think he had, I think he was like beach soccer.
What's a beach soccer?
I don't know, but it sounds like something I would like to play. But yeah, I saw Gareth's speech in London last summer. I think it was last summer at one of those freedom rallies, and it was fantastic. And I thought, who is this guy? Like I mentioned in the show. I'm like, oh, that's David Icke's son. But he's fantastic. And he's a singer, songwriter, author, personal trainer. And of course, he plays that beach soccer. But he also is making a film, like a film series called The Walk, which seems fantastic. And he's doing some books right now. I think he's helping with his dad's books. And he's also got a new podcast that's pretty funny. WTAF. I guess it's what the actual fuck. And check that out for some real good British humor, where they kind of make fun of everything that's going on here. They try and take all this stuff that's happening. They kind of bring levity to depth, like our buddy Owen that we had on recently.
I'm thrilled to have him on. Thrilled to make that. I've been tweeting back and forth with them a little bit over the last 6, 7 months, 8 months. It's funny because it is COVID that kind of brought us sort of together.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people did turn away with it. And I mean, especially on the Twitter account. I mean, I take some flack because I don't want to talk about it on the podcast. You take a look at the Twitter or Facebook account,
yeah,
and you'll see that I don't fucking take a day off of feeding them feeding it to the government or whoever else.
Yeah.
I just don't want the poor listeners of the regular Grow America show to have to listen to that. Yeah. So I do have this I want to get to quick. Shout out to Benny's Breakfast Bar in Calgary. Because I'm going to be going for breakfast there on Monday.
Nice.
I see the government, with the infinite wisdom of taxpayer-funded paycheck collectors, have decided to attack the restaurant industry, gyms, and the most head-scratching, libraries. Shouldn't bookstores be closed too then? I guess those heavy-breathing intellects who read are scary to government people. Perhaps I missed it, but I didn't see a hospital count. The last I saw was 282 COVID patients within Alberta's 161 hospitals. Please correct me if my numbers are wrong. It was sad to hear almost 2,000 people died of COVID, though in the same period of time, about 26,000 other Albertans died that no one seemed to mention. Lastly, how many waves are we going to have? Can any of the expert whose models have been completely wrong give an answer? The gist of this is that Benny's Breakfast Bar will not close on Friday. In over a year, not one of my staff have been sick, nor has there been any cases traced back to my restaurant.
Awesome. That was fantastic.
I will see you on Monday for lunch, Benny. For some eggs, Benny. And if anyone shows up to give him just crap, I'm going to tell him to get out, just like on those videos.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. That was a great little chat.
Maybe watch for the live stream on the Twitter account Sunday night. Could be interesting.
Yeah.
As my try and re-enter my own country.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy the chat. The wonderful Gareth Aich.
Gareth Aich, thanks for joining us on Grimerica Outlawed.
Thank you very much for having me. Those big feet on the wall.
Yes.
Did you make those, you guys?
No, we got them given to us. They're from a friend who's into Sasquatch quite a bit, from Wenatchee, Washington.
They're pretty cool, I must admit.
Oh, yeah. I think they're legit.
I like them.
They're legit, I think. There's a lot of legit Bigfoot stuff around here.
That's amazing.
I don't think you got Bigfoot in England.
That's a bit of a rubbish wall.
Yeah. No. It's just another brick in the wall behind you.
Yeah.
That's funny. Pink Floyd emailed me yesterday. They've been trying to sell me masks.
Pink Floyd masks?
Pink Floyd has been trying to sell me Pink Floyd masks. Wow, man.
I would have loved that if I was like 25 years ago. I used to love them.
I don't know. It's been blowing my mind because I got the first email and I was like, how can this be? But it says right on it, Pink Floyd, Floydology.
Wow.
Why are they doing that?
I have never bought anything Pink Floyd in my life. I've actually just started listening to Pink Floyd.
What?
Interestingly enough, me and the girlfriend started listening to a bit of Pink Floyd when we were driving because this guy's always talking about it and I've just never been a Floyd guy. That shit is great though.
Oh yeah.
It does fit my lifestyle pretty well. But now out of the blue, twice in the last month, Pink Floyd has emailed me trying to sell me masks.
That's why they see it on your phone and they're doing it.
That is super creepy. Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah,
just scanning my phone straight up?
100%. I thought they were anti-establishment anyway. But,
well, that's what I thought. This is what's so disappointing, right? I see fucking Roger Waters. I'm like, what fucking happened to you? Along with Madonna and all my other fucking favorites from the 80s, they're just completely gone. I just lost respect for all these musicians. And I mean, all of them are just gone.
Yeah, I'm the same. To be honest, like my mate Steve, he sends me stuff on a regular basis because he knows it will piss me off because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
And he sent me a tweet from the New York Rangers because I'm a big Rangers fan, and it was of them trying to flog masks. And he was like, "I bet your head is exploding in it." I was just like, "Just go away. Just go away. I don't want to see it because it'll wind me up." Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan. Use all the celebrities. You know, use them to forward.
So, are we
agenda.
Part of the problem then? If we're selling masks, should we stop selling masks? Do you think?
No, it's we sell protest masks are different. Like if you want to sell it with a little pyramid and a rainbow on there, like Pink Floyd, that's different. If you're saying this is bullshit on your mask, I think that's fine.
Okay.
Sorry, lads. Yeah, just slagging your masks off. No. It is funny though that celebs are rolled out, but I'm pretty sure it said in like. Event 201 that they were going to get celebs involved. Like it's all like got it's gone to plan, isn't it? Yeah. But what's funny is I saw something the other week, and it was Elton John, right? So Elton John's come out and he said, you know, get vaccinated. And there's a radio station here called Talk Radio, and they're kind of I think they're gatekeepers. If I'm honest, they're kind of a little bit towards their anti-lockdown, but at the same time, they only ever go so far. And it's kind of like I just feel like you're sort of gatekeeping a bit. But one of their DJs tweeted it, the news story about Elton John, saying, if it's good enough for Elton John, it's good enough for me. Yeah. And I was thinking, but you're not buying a piano. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Elton John he's not got a medical background, is he? Not, unless, like, I've not been told that.
The interesting one now is if you Google, like, yesterday I was playing some games on the social media. I got under the Twitter account yesterday and started posting a bunch of stuff.
I thought something was up because I see these posts from him and I go, oh boy, Darren's
on a rant. Because I found all the, I actually went to the clinicaltrials.gov site and I started just taking screenshots of all the clinical trials because all these people, because I put it on Twitter because someone had sent me the one screenshot and it was like when the Moderna trial ends, when the safety trial for the Moderna vaccine ends. And I was just put on Twitter. So I was like, okay, well, when do you guys think the Moderna or the safety trials for these vaccines ends? And you kind of get numbers all over the map. And there was a couple people that were pretty adamant that a couple of them were done and a couple other ones were done in in June of this year. So I started going through all of them. And as I'm sure Gareth knows, if you go through them one by one, you've got the Johnson & Johnson one that the study completes in January 2023, January 2nd, 2023. Currently, there's no data in that one. AstraZeneca is February 14th, 2023. I believe Moderna is October of 2022 and Pfizer is January 2023 as well. And it just floors me that, and right now I'm especially upset with my politicians, especially my Minister of Health, that can go on TV and has the nerve to be called our top doctor. And she goes on there and every day, vaccines, 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 not sunshine, not make sure you're getting enough sleep, not watch your diet. Keep, as far as she's concerned, your immune system doesn't fucking exist. And she's going to go on TV and tell us that you need the vaccine and that the vaccine's 100% safe and effective. Meanwhile, there's even the drug company won't tell me that yet. Even the drug companies that are making the vaccines won't tell me that yet. But my Minister of Health is going on TV and telling everyone that every single day. And I'm just kind of at a point where I've had enough of it. And I'm guessing that you've got to be a lot further down that road over there, because I want to say you guys are like six months ahead of us on the vaccine rollout.
We're crazy town here. I mean, he makes an announcement on Boris. Makes an announcement on Monday about vaccine passports. They're absolutely bringing them in. I think for travel, they'll be in almost immediately. For going to the pub, it'll probably be June, July, that you'll need a vaccine passport to go to the pub. So if I want to go out for a pint, I either have to get an injection that's an experimental gene therapy that, like you say, doesn't complete till 2023 for something that doesn't affect me. Or I can get a PCR test to go to the pub for a pint and a packet of crisps.
Does it have to be one of those nasal thingamajiggies that you put in your brain?
Or can I'm pretty it be, sure, can it yeah, because like, that's how they do the PCR.
They used to do a throat swab in our area. Like my girlfriend had the throat swab, and she's also had the brain one too, but.
Right, they do a lateral flow test here, which you can do in your mouth, but that's like, I mean, the PCR test is so freaking ridiculous anyway, in terms of its accuracy, it's a waste of time. But it's the lateral flow test is so bad that if you test positive on the lateral flow, they have to confirm it with a PCR. So it's even worse than that. Interestingly, like, where I don't know if you've seen this. There's a doctor here called Dr. Yeadon, who was one of the heads of Pfizer. And for years and years and years. And his background is absolute mainstream big pharma, to be fair. He's like, you know, his background is the devil in terms of how we would look at it, you know, treating the symptoms. A patient cured is a customer lost, you know, that kind of attitude. But even he's been pretty vocal from the beginning. It's like, hang on, like, this is ridiculous. This is brand new. Like, this has never been used on humans before, and we're dishing it out to people. This is madness. And so he is now actually starting to come round, and he did this podcast that I saw yesterday with James Dellenpole, and it was big, man. Like, he's talking about, he thinks it's depopulation. He's like, I can't see another reason why. And he's, like I say, he's mainstream. And he's saying, but then he does say a couple of things about the fact that the reason why they've got this mRNA vaccine is because to have a normal vaccine, you'd have to have some of the virus, but no one's got any.
Wow, he said that.
Yeah, and what was funny, mate, because I'm quite vocal about it, I think it's all bollocks, but he was just going, it's weird, isn't it? No one seems to have any. It's weird, isn't it? And he was kind of saying it like that in a way, and I was thinking, I know what you're saying. You're coming around, you're crossing the Rubicon to the fact that this is just a complete, you know, fiction.
But even the J&J style ones don't have it?
Say that again?
The Johnson & Johnson style vaccine doesn't have it?
The Johnson & Johnson style still says experimental on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all, and what's mental as well is they've, because of there's these new variants. Oh no, dreadful. Because the variants apparently are so similar to the fictitious main player, that actually the new vaccines that are being developed for the variants, which are being developed by GlaxoSmithKline here in the UK, they don't need any testing.
Oh my God.
They don't need any safety testing. They've said that's fine because it's so similar to the other one, so we don't need to test that. So that's like, okay, well, I've got a Honda Accord. What have you made? You've made a Honda Civic. a similar brand car. Don't bother testing that one.
Yeah.
It's absolute madness. And another thing he was talking about was this Moderna test where they've been testing kids. Like, who's sending their kids in for a vaccine trial? Yeah. I don't even want to know.
There's a whole bunch of people that are all on board here.
Well, I got to stop you guys quick because I feel like we can't go by the fact that you just mentioned GlaxoSmithKline, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. So I feel like we should pause there for a sec and just mention that you're talking right there in that one sentence. We have just mentioned the three largest criminal settlements on the history of the fucking planet. GlaxoSmithKline got a fucking $2 billion civil settlement and a $1 billion criminal settlement for a total of $3 billion. You've got Pfizer with the largest criminal fucking charge in the history of the planet at $2.3 billion for fraudulent bullshit. And you got Johnson & Johnson coming in right up behind them with $2.2 billion in criminal charges. I think that might have been the asbestos one. I'm not 100% sure.
The baby powder one.
But you're talking about the three people that are making these vaccines are the three of the companies that have the largest criminal fucking fines in the history of the planet. And if they weren't as corrupt as they were, I mean, what company in the world can absorb a $3 billion fine and just keep right on fucking rolling?
Exactly. Exactly. It's interesting, actually. The GlaxoSmithKline thing is quite funny because there's a guy here who's one of the chief advisors to Boris Johnson who, during lockdown, when everyone was meant to be in their house, he went on a 200-mile drive, as you do, and he said it was to test his eyes, because we all do that. But where he went was a place called Bernard Castle, and it's right up north of England. And he did it while apparently having COVID. So, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, it turns out, right, like Bernard Castle's a small place, tiny little place, but there just happens to be this really big manufacturing GlaxoSmithKline vaccine making thing there, which is weird on the off chance. Do you know what I mean? So a lot of us said at the time, like, well, hang on a minute. He's obviously going there, isn't he? He's obviously going there. So there's a conflict of interest going on here because he's meeting with these vaccine providers. Bear in mind, this is right at the beginning. So then the government had to make an announcement and Matt Hancock came out and said, there's no conflict of anything here because GlaxoSmithKline aren't even in the conversation. It's Moderna, it's Pfizer, it's AstraZeneca, Oxford, blah, 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 right. So then last week, right, because we need a new vaccine for the variants, they've just been handed, I think it was a £130 million contract, GlaxoSmithKline, to make the vaccines for the variant. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no tests, yeah. No tests.
Nothing. All connected, yeah.
And meanwhile, in America, I just was playing around on the VAERS website. It's pretty easy to do. I go in, I choose the VAERS ID and the serious adverse effects. I picked from December to March. I picked death. And last night there was 2,035 of them. And now today, this morning, they've updated it. So there's another 200 deaths in there. That's 2,232 deaths in the VAERS site. If you go through and
but my
read
minister
these,
of health goes on TV every day and says it's 100% safe and effective.
So that, and you read to, and there's all these people that are supposedly anti-vax and they're saying, well, that's just fear mongering. That's well, there's a whole bunch of people in the industry that think this is safe and they're, this is just a coincidence or they're not connected or people can go in and show that they're not. You start reading some of these. My grandmother died a few hours after receiving Moderna COVID vaccine. I mean, it's on over and over and over again. It's like 15 minutes after, a couple hours after, next day, whatever. You can say maybe not 100% of these are connected. They might have died anyways off on the odd chance, but this is only a portion of what's
COVID.
Really happening. And how
say
can
that
they
with
say
COVID, though?
I've heard you guys.
You can't say they would have died anyway with COVID.
No, you can't. It's a complete opposite with that. I mean, I've heard you guys say the exact same thing on your show. It's like, it's super refreshing to hear you guys from the UK. And basically I'm like, I agree with all the stuff you're saying and not in a bubble kind of way, because you guys are like questioning everything. That's like us. We don't have all the answers, but we want to question stuff. And it's so refreshing to hear you guys sort of deconstruct some of this and make fun of some of this fucking craziness, because it's exactly what we're thinking. But how do they say safe? They have some sort of weird thing with the words where they say it's safer than COVID, or it's somehow more beneficial. Like, fuck off. It's not safe.
No, of course it's not safe. And the alarm bell should ring when anyone says that anything is 100% safe and effective. There's no such thing as 100% safe and effective. Nothing is. Nothing on this green earth is 100% safe and effective. So that should ring alarm bells anyway. And there's all, and when the thing is as well, like, you don't even need to be that bright. Like, well, you just question everything. It really doesn't take long for it to fall apart because it's all built on crap.
Yeah.
It's all built on like blue slipper clay. Like, it's just going to disintegrate at any point. And, like the Moderna one, so they've come out, they've tested these 300 kids, right, have done this test, and they've said it's 100% safe and effective, right? I don't believe you, but fine. But you've tested 300. 300 is nothing. So how they work out adverse reactions, like death, is how many adverse reactions death per 1,000. So if you've tested this on 300 kids, you've got a 70% chance missing a single death, right? And so say you miss one death, you've got a 70% chance of missing a death. That's quite a high percentage. So say you miss one death. So then in England, there's what, like 10 million kids. That's 10,000 deaths. You've just missed 10,000 deaths off a vaccine for a virus that, even if you believe the nonsense, has a 0% chance of killing a kid. So you're sacrificing. It confuses me. Because I know people that have taken it, so they can go on holiday, and then they've just been told that they can't go on holiday. So that's kind of made me laugh a bit, because, you know, life comes at you fast. But the attitude that you would like, I'll spend a year not getting ill, but I'm going to take a vaccine that's going to make me ill so I don't get ill. All right, mate. All right. Okay.
Especially, I mean, I had some hope in the beginning that this might be what it would take to shake the vaccine industry, because I mean, the sad fact is no one gives a fuck about the kids unless it's your kid. And when it's your kid, no one gives a fuck what you got to say. And I was hoping, because if you look at the vaccine courts in the West, it does seem to be heavily slanted. And like, we're talking 80-90% are adult cases, because they can have people come in and testify on their behalf and say, you know, this guy was A and now he's B, and you know, there was only this fucking thing in between. His doctor can come in. And I was hoping that maybe this thing would sort of wake some people up. And I kind of, I do see some of that in the background. Like, I think they just did a poll here yesterday in Alberta of like 35,000 people. And even in Calgary, it was like 73% are done with lockdowns and everything. But when you go around, everyone's just fucking complying. What do you think? Because when it first started, I thought, you know, it's just a trial run. It's the this, it's the that. We're going to have more time. But here we are a year later.
People are starting to inject themselves instead of their kids. It would wake them up like, whoa. Now it's me taking the jab. I don't think I want to do that. But I've seen so many people just go completely the other way. They're brainwashed and ridiculing anybody who doesn't want it. I mean, their marketing campaign of Pfizer is fantastic. It's top notch. So what do you think that it's going to fall apart or keep going, or, I mean?
Well, I think it's going to fall apart in the end. I just think that a lot of people are going to go down with it. Good people too. Because the coercion here has been absolutely extraordinary. And you know, it's kind of like one of these things, and where people say, well, if I say to a woman, like, have sex with me, or I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z to you, and I'm going to do this to your family, and I'm going to do that, she's going to agree to do it. But she's not agreed to do it, has she? It's still against her will, because I've given her a bunch of conditions that she wants to stop happening. So I'm still an abuser. I'm still a rapist in that session, right? And that's how I see it. And it's the same with this. So you have to agree, sure. Like, no one's going to, at this moment in time anyway, no one's going to tie me down and stick it in my arm, but I can't pay the mortgage unless I get it. And I can't go to the pub and meet my friends. I can't go on holiday. I can't take the kids on holiday. I can't take my wife on holiday. My daughter can't go to swimming lessons. You know, all these things are just regular stuff. And so that's what's happening. They're telling people that here. And so people are just going, oh, I don't want to. Like, I know people, and every single one of them, none of them wanted it. None of them wanted it. They did it because they felt they had to. And so they're being coerced massively, which is also against the Nuremberg Code, I might add, to actually coerce people into doing stuff like that. But what's getting me at the moment is the vaccine passports are the big thing. They're pushing them. They're on every news bulletin. And the whole reason to do it is to try and get more and more people to go and get the vaccine, because people are like, oh, mate, I'm not going to be able to do anything. So they've come out with a poll a couple of days ago, which said that 70% of people in the UK support vaccine passports. No, they don't. No, they don't, but they say they do, right? So then you look a little bit more into it. So you go, right, Ipsos Mori, that's the company that did the poll, right? So this is the company that's just in the last 6 months received best part of $3 million off of Bill and Melinda Gates. Oh, okay. So this is the same company that's got government contract after government contract. All the track and trace contracts were within government. So they have a loyalty to the government, not to the people. At the same time, the head of Ipsos Mori is also the head of a think tank. Is IIPC or something like that. It's four letters. He's the same. He's the head of this think tank. This think tank's main funding comes from Pfizer. Wow. And three or four other vaccine providers, GlaxoSmithKline being one of them. So you go, okay. So I'm not sure it's a legit poll. And then you look and he's like, okay, he's polled 8,000 people. That's quite a lot in terms of a poll. All right, let's have a look at the... So then someone got hold of the question and went, right, so what's the question you've asked? Now, the question they printed was, do you support the rollout of vaccine passports to go to the pub, right? And the answer was like 70% said yes, they supported it. But then when you look at the actual question that they were asked, it was, if vaccine passports are the only way to end lockdown and reopen businesses, do you agree with the introduction of vaccine passports? That's not the same question. It's not the same question. The question should be, do you support them or not?
Yeah.
Not... Do you support them? But if you don't support them, you won't be able to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're leading people into... Well, it is. It's a leading question. And it's a scam. And all the press here are just pushing that now, going, well, it looks like it's public opinion is that they support it.
What's your take on that then, quick? Like, because I go back and forth on whose side the press is on, and I go back and forth on who the politicians are sort of bowing to. And sometimes I'm of the mind that it's... Pharma has taken over all of our media to such an extreme level that they're able to sort of just drag these fucking politicians along like puppeteers behind them. And I'm wondering what your take on what, why is the news just taking the size of the government? It's like, who's the boogeyman, do you think?
I think they both take their orders from the same people, and it's unbelievable the amount of times, like, if someone comes out and says something, or there's a study that says professor such and such, or there's a politician in this country, or blah blah blah, media outlet, an expert, I love the term expert, they come out, right? All I do then, I take their name and I put Bill Gates, or I take their name and I put World Economic Forum, and every single time, it's a 100% record that they will either be in the pocket of Bill and Melinda Gates in terms of financially, or they will be part of the World Economic Forum. Now, this even goes down to little things like Qantas, which is the airline of Australia that banned, like, they've brought in vaccine passports already.
One of the first ones to publicly do
it. One of the first ones. Yeah, I see the CEO of them is part of the World Economic Forum. So it goes as far down as airlines, you know, every single time it's like all roads lead here. And I try and make that point to people, like, at what point does it stop being a coincidence? Yeah. You know, you've got a software developer in America who is involved in everything. He's giving his money to everyone in every single aspect of this whole pandemic, even down to like the chief medical advisor here. He's in his pocket for 40
problem
million.
Reaction solution. He funded the fucking the model, the fucked up model that caused this whole mess. He funded the lab in Wuhan, the gain of function, and he funds the vaccines to fix the fucking problem. I mean, it's complete. He's got it all, and he's admitted that he's going to make 20 times his money on vaccines. Admitted that.
Yeah. So do you think
they always tell us what they're doing? And it was funny because I spoke to a guy called Sterling Simpson, who's a lung specialist in Carolina, months ago now. And he said this. He said, they always tell us. He said, no matter what it is, they tell you. So if I've got a drink here, it tells me what the ingredients are. You know, there's lots of long words. And now I could take those words and I could go and put them into a search engine. I could have a look and I'd be able to find out if they're carcinogenic or not. But I don't. I'll just drink it. So they're not lying. They're telling us. And he was saying that it's the same with all of this stuff. You know, they're always telling you what they're doing. And I went back through Bill Gates' tweets. You know, he is one self-absorbed bastard. But I went through his tweets. And from December 2019, he's there going, next year is going to be a massive year for vaccines. Is it?
Wow, what the fuck?
Is it? It's almost like you know, Bill. It's almost like you know, and you're telling us. Because I feel like it's almost like on one level they're trolling. Exactly. Like they're taking the mick. Yeah. They're taking the mick. Yeah. But on the other, it feels like, you know, you might think I'm a bit out there with this, but it's almost like kind of quite a cult kind of, you know how a vampire needs your permission.
Yep.
It needs your permission to cross the threshold. Once you've let it in, it'll just rip your head off and that's your problem. But you have to invite it in.
Yep.
And I almost feel that like silence is compliance and silence is consent. And so they're telling you what they're doing and they're listening. And if you don't do anything, well, that's consent then. Bang, we'll go ahead. And it's almost like it's like a karmic thing of, well, I've got permission. I can do what I want then. It feels quite like that. And, you know, we have that here in the UK where if I put in a planning application, say I want to build a massive girt wall around my house, it's going to kill the view for everyone. I put an application, they put a bit of paper on the lamppost and no one ever reads it. No one ever reads it, but they leave it there for a period of weeks. And then when you start putting this big wall up and people go, hang on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Bit of paper over there. Did you not see it? Of course you didn't see it. No one saw it, but it was there. So that's you've consented, mate.
Post land use change or whatever. I mean, I see those all around town. I notice those now. I still don't read them, but I've noticed those over the last couple of years. You'll start seeing them all over the city. They're on a post. There's a little sign here. It's like, oh, you know, government of Calgary, city of Calgary, we're going to just change this up. And then there's a little link on the bottom. So you couldn't see it driving by. You'd have to stop your car, get out of your car, walk up to it. And then you could read this. You know, if you don't agree with this, you can visit this website and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and there's a thing here where you can complain about it.
Yeah. And no one ever does.
I think you should go for the wall.
And they know that, which is why they do it.
But back to like WEF and Bill Gates. I mean, is it go higher than them though? I mean, they do seem to me like I flip flop back and forth too. Are they the foot soldiers or, I mean, they're the ones that you're seeing all these real open, overt connections with the airlines who should be pissed off that this is happening, but they're complying. I mean, all these big corporations, I mean, they're fucking right on board with this because they're making a killing and all the small businesses are getting shut down. But is there a hidden hand above them that are controlling this or pushing them this way? Like Gates just, it just doesn't, sometimes he seems like such an idiot. I'm like, how is he doing all this himself?
It seems like he's the fall guy.
I think he's a foot soldier. Yeah, that's exactly what he is. But I mean, he grew up in a eugenics cult anyway. I mean, his dad was a eugenicist. So he's been brought up in this. So he's probably just as much of a victim as we are, you know, in terms of the abused become the abuser. But I don't think he's in charge of stuff. I think he's just probably the public face of it in the same way that Klaus Schwab is just the public face of it.
And the money.
To be such a demon, you know, you're going to be in the shadows and just moving things around a chess table. That's what I think is happening. And also, like, it's all so long planned in terms of, like, you were mentioning about the big corporations. So you take, say, like Amazon. Now, Amazon for the first few years was losing the best part of $1 billion a year.
How does
any company do that? Yeah, Uber, $1 billion a year. How does any company do that? Unless they're seed funding by
YouTube.
The Pentagon, which is almost certainly were. But what they did is they destroyed the competition because if I'm in competition with Amazon and he can lose $1 billion a year, I've still got to turn a profit.
That's a great point.
undercut me. And obviously what Amazon did is they destroyed the publishing business.
Yes. And then they're done. And just like YouTube too. And then they call them private companies. Oh, they can do whatever they want. The private company. Well, no, they're seeded by this stuff to make them a monopoly.
Well, I think it's worse than that. I mean, I don't think they're private companies. I don't think because I think this spins into this sort of anti-capitalism stuff too, which I'll catch some shit for this. I guarantee it. But I don't think that capitalism does create a bunch of billionaires. And I think if you start fucking really looking around and taking a close look at the billionaires, especially the mega billionaires, you're going to see that they had a little bit of fucking help the whole way. And a little bit of help. And what they've fucking quietly done is taken over your transportation industry, your shipping industry, your entertainment industry, and your communication industries under the guise of private companies so that you guys can say, my private companies, it's okay, they can ban you. But that's fucking bullshit because it's not a private company. It's a state-funded entity that is now the fucking definition of fascism when they delete you. But you're more worried about Donald Trump. And it just, it fucking floors me because it sort of does those two purposes where it kind of drives people towards that communist and socialist sort of mindset because it's, look, you got these billionaires that are running rimshot in the place. Okay, well, start investigating those billionaires because what you'll start seeing is almost to a man, they've been fucking state funded.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course they have. It's like that whole garage door thing. This is the garage door where this was invented. That's the garage door where this was invented. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Every single time. And you know, all of them could lose money the whole time. And they also get away with stuff. This annoys me, like with like when my dad got banned and when I've got kicked off of stuff. It's like, but they're private companies, they can do what they want. It's like, well, not really, because actually they announce themselves as non-partisan and they announce themselves as a publisher. So they're not a creator of anything. They just publish it. So actually they can't be done. Well, then you can't then delete people because they say a different thing to what you like. Because in that case, then you come under those regulations then, but they don't. So they can get away with murder, but they just ban who they want and they move things in certain ways. Twitter's particularly bad for it now. Facebook, I've given up with. I don't have anything to do with them. But it's absolute madness. And in terms of capitalism, as far as I'm concerned, well, I don't think we've ever had it. And when you say that, like people get the ump with you. But I go, but so take the UK for instance. Like, so we had the banking crisis here. Now the idea of capitalism for me is survival of the fittest. Basically, if I run a company and I don't run it very well, then it will go bankrupt and I'll end up on the street. And that's my problem. And it's kind of quite heartless in that sense, but that's how it works. But when the banks went under, we bailed them out. So it's not capitalism then. The banks should have been allowed to fail, as they let them do in Iceland. But in Britain, we bailed the banks out. And I'm pretty sure in North America, they did the same. But yeah. So that's not capitalism then. That's not capitalism. That's not how it works. They should have been allowed to fail. And then, you know, everyone else can pick up among the bones and do something else. But, you know, cartelism, maybe. I'll go along with that.
Or corporatism. It used to be fascism. It used to be fascism.
Yeah.
But now they've changed the definition of that.
Under Mussolini's definition, we're in fascism, you know.
Yeah.
He defined fascism as basically a joint venture between corporations and the state. Well,
everyone did back then. Yeah. I mean, that's what everyone decided fascism is, when your corporate and your private entities are wound so tight like a bundle of sticks that you can't separate the two. But you look up fascism now in any dictionary, and there isn't one fucking line in there about private and public power merging. Not fucking one. And the extra scary thing about Amazon is, because we do audiobook stuff, and I'm sure you're on the book end of things as well, try and publish a fucking book that's not on Amazon. Just try. I mean, there's a couple of loopholes if you want that thing to be on print. If you want that to be, you know, paperback, maybe you can get it to small publishing house. Maybe you can get it out to a few people. If you think you're getting into a Chapters or an Indigo, that's going to be a little bit harder. If you want to get it onto an ebook, fucking forget it. If you want to get it onto an audiobook that's on an actual real platform like iTunes, or, you know, a place where people are actually finding the audiobooks.
Audible.
I mean, you can find some obscure corner of the internet where you could publish your audiobook and no one's going to find it. But the big audiobook, I mean, Audible is Amazon. So is ACX and so is Kindle, are all Amazon. Have fucking completely cornered the industry now that I can't even make an audiobook unless that book already exists in Amazon's Kindle store. And now Amazon decides all the copyright, holds all the manifestos and all that shit. So what happens in 50 years from now? And I mean, I'm not, you know, they're not at that point now where they can just say, you know, we can still have 1984. We're just going to change up a couple of paragraphs here and we're going to sort of change the message a little bit. And it's going to turn out that, you know, the state say, I don't know. I feel like we're closer to that than I would have thought was even physically possible 10 years ago.
Well, to be like 1984, was it, he who controls the present controls the past, he who controls the past controls the future? And that's exactly what it is. And they are editing things. I mean, we've got issues with Amazon at the minute. Like, our books have been taken down because of the images were not big enough. They've been flagged. It's like, some of them have been on there for 6 years. But so I went back to them. I went back to the guys that make the ebooks, and they expanded all these images. And the guy, Steve, he said, I've never made one this big before. He said, it's enormous. And we put it in, still not up. It's like, it's almost like you're having me on. So I've gone back to them and I've just said, you're lying to me. It's nothing to do with the images. It's to do with the fact that you want to take the book down. You just don't want to be seen as being a book burner. And they've not come back to me yet. And when it comes to book burning, this is interesting. Like, you know what I was saying? Like, how sometimes they're trolling.
Yes.
So, like, you know, if you're going to start a fire to burn all the books. So if you're going to start a fire, what are those little bits of wood that you chuck in the bottom of the fire to get the fire going?
Kindling.
Kindling. What's the Amazon thing called? The Amazon?
Yeah. Kindle. Yeah.
It's almost like they're having a laugh.
Yeah.
I feel like they're taking a mic. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Well, and then it does make you wonder. It hasn't been that long they've been planning this. I mean, maybe it's only been like 10, 20 years. I mean, you can see their plans from the 70s, 80s. So maybe you're right. Maybe they've said, fuck, we're going to control this thing for all the seed money. We're going to take over the fucking publishing and we're going to call it Kindling.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? They'll never know. They'll never know. Yeah. You're right. Like, they control everything because it's the same then when you look at Uber, that's obviously just destroying, you know, family, mum and pop cab firms and stuff like that. It's just destroying them. The whole idea of Uber is for, you know, automated cars anyway. It's driverless cars. That's the whole idea. And they openly say that's where their, you know, tech is heading. That's what they want. And obviously, once you've got driverless cars, then I want to go here, please. Nope. Computer says no.
Oh, right. And yes. So you guys had an example of that on your show, I think, recently.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got absolute control over everything. You've got control over where people go, where they don't go. You've got control over what books they can read, what books they can't read. You can take bits out of books. I mean, they're doing that now anyway in terms of political correctness. I mean, freaking Dr. Seuss isn't even safe. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just madness. And they're using political correctness as an excuse and, you know, hate crime and all this sort of stuff as an excuse to take stuff out. But it's not the real reason at all. It's creating a society here in England particularly where people self-censor.
Yeah,
because that's their ideal dream. You know, if I've got to shut you up, that's gonna be a bit annoying. I've got to keep looking at your posts and deleting you. It's annoying. But if I know that you're going to shut yourself up, result, I can go down the pub. And so that's what's happening. And I know people that they message me throughout all of this and even before, to be fair. So, and I wish I could say the things you say, but I get sacked. So I just keep my mouth shut. And you're like, well, yeah, that's the idea.
Are we losing sight of the potential for a non-centralized sort of crypto market, even with books and with all this stuff? Like, I mean, there are solutions, but I think there's so many people in the sort of like in the Google side of the internet, the Google, the Amazon and all that. But I mean, is there more of an opportunity than we think for distribution on the decentralized blockchain or in the under web or whatever, the dark web? I mean, sometimes I feel like we're focusing on the wrong thing.
I think there's always a chance. I think there's always an option of anything. I think you just need to be really clever. And like when you look at things like Parler, for instance, like what were they doing on Amazon servers?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like that's just like, that's madness to me.
Yeah.
There does seem to be a bit of naivety there. I mean, I'm going to get an email about this too, but I mean, we've got an in-house guy who's been kind of helping us from day one. He's a tech guy. He's a this, he's a that. And he owns his own tech company. He's an IT guy in town for a bunch of the oil companies, small little, you know, two or three person company. And he's like, we've been self-hosting all our stuff and switching everything to that so that we're trying to make ourselves as cancel-proof as possible. So at least make it harder for them. I mean, in today's world, it's kind of hard to go fully proof, but you can make it so that you're hopefully one of the last fingers they get to anyway. And he's trying to help out. Love you, James. And he's emailing me. And he's like, okay, well, I've got this whole hosting thing set up and it's all on. And then we get to the end of it and it's all on Amazon servers. And he wants me to like send him my whole fucking castle and he's going to put it on Amazon servers. And, you know, he's got this whole thing to explain to me on why that's okay. And I'm just like, I don't think that's okay. It's in my world. That's not okay to be on Amazon servers. I mean, there's this evidence of them shutting people down, and he's like in our world. I mean, he used to do a cybersecurity segment with us on our old show. And I'm just, it seems like there still seems to be this.
Or he's really the handler.
That could be it. I mean, we have run into him at Lockheed Martin a couple times.
Two of his offices were beside a Lockheed Martin subsidiary in Calgary. We're like, what the fuck? Is he really the handler? Because we used to just joke around about it. But we're like, you know, is this Skunkworks in action here?
Do you know what's funny, actually? We talk about Lockheed Martin. I was reading this article about testing, mm-hmm. about the COVID tests and how, you know, you get to a point with industry where it's too big to fail. So, you know, like your Lockheed Martins and your Raytheons and all that sort of stuff, you know, they're too big to fail. So we better go war. And they were saying that the test manufacturers are, that industry now of manufacturing tests is bigger than Lockheed Martin.
No way. Oh,
yeah. Worldwide. And so then you're at a point now where if everyone goes, right, it's over, done.
Too big to fail.
Too big to fail. Yeah. So we need to keep testing. So we keep testing everyone. Kids in school here in the UK are tested twice a week. And so you test them. And all that means then, because the PCR test is a scam anyway, and you can bring up the amplification levels and bring down the amplification levels whenever you want, you can create a pandemic whenever you want one.
It's the perfect tool. We've said this since fucking last spring. This is the perfect tool. I thought the PCR test was going to go away as soon as they figured out how to do better antibody testings or whatever. And then 6 months later in the summer, I'm like, why are they still using the PCR? We knew this was bogus from the beginning. It's the fucking perfect control tool for this. Perfect. And I was just talking to a friend last night about our area in Alberta. Apparently the cases are up, the fucking cycle threshold's up. And I don't know how he found out about that, but apparently they're driving it up again. And in Ontario, yeah, it's been higher than it is over here. And I sent our government an email and I got a response on their, they have a canned PCR cover your ass email on how it's all unique and they've developed their own fucking system to make sure it's all fair in comparison. I mean, it sounds great, but I don't buy it.
No, it's bollocks. It all came out of Dresden. It all came out of Germany, who, again, you can tie him back to Bill Gates and World Economic Forum, as you always can. He's the one that came up with the protocols. But again, to go back to the thing I said earlier with Sterling Simpson, they always tell you. So you're using a PCR test. Man, the guy that invented it says it Kerry shouldn't Mullis, be used for that. Yeah. Anyway, you know, but Fauci's coming out there and he's saying, like, anything above 35 cycles, it's, you're just finding dead viruses. It's a waste of time. You can find anything in anything. Right, okay, cool, cheers. On the NHS website in the UK, 45 cycles. They what? Tell you. They tell you they're using 45.
Oh, my God.
And so I try and make that point to people. But then, as Biden came in and as the vaccine was rolled out, yep, here, the World Health Organization sent out new instructions, didn't they? Sent out new instructions to all these laboratories about the PCR testing threshold cycle.
Dial that down.
Dial it down. And then all that means is, God, look, Trump's gone and the deaths are coming down and the cases are coming down and they're not even cases, not ill. And then at the same time, the vaccine rollout in England. Wow, look, the cases are coming down. Yeah, because you brought the threshold down. And it's so obvious. And I actually said it on my Twitter, like, trying to think now, probably October last year. Just said, look out for some subtle changes in the way they either test or record tests and deaths when the vaccine's rolled out.
Yep.
And that's not because you're genius. It's just freaking obvious. I actually thought they'd try and do it far more subtly than they actually did, which was World Health Organization just putting this press release out to tell everyone. On inauguration day, yeah. And again, the trolling.
But here we are. But here we are ramped back up again.
Yeah, so you do it whenever you want. Do it whenever
you want. Yeah, because I was hoping that Biden would come in and they'd be like, all right, Trump's gone. We can sort of let things go back to normal. That's not happening. So before we run out of time on the free show, I want to maybe talk with spin this over to maybe some good news for a little bit, because you had talked about a bit before how you do think it's going to fall apart. So can you sort of expand on that a bit? I mean, because I really feel like it's got to start falling apart there. I mean, you guys, I don't know how this fucking happened. I really don't know how UK became ground zero for fucking COVID vaccines. It seemed like it would have been India or, you know, it's usually some third world country. I mean, I'm not saying anything about Indians. I'm an Indian, Canadian, but I'm just talking like usually it's Africans or Indians that end up getting these vaccines dumped on them in the beginning.
By Gavi or whoever.
By Gavi or Gates Foundation or whoever the fuck. But this time it's the UK. So, I mean, what's changed? Do you think you guys are going to be the tip of the spear the whole time? Is this where it's going to start to fall apart? How do you see that process sort of playing out? And what can we do to fan those flames?
Or is it because you don't want to be part of the EU?
Or is it, yeah.
I think English people are weak, if I'm honest. You know, and it's been extraordinary to me, like this bulldog spirit. We're the British. We beat the Germans. And you're like, mate, none of you would be beating any Germans. And Scotland is even worse. Like the Braveheart, you know, Macbeth kind of just You know, it's very strange. And I don't know what the reasons are, whether it's a lot of it is that we've had it so freaking easy for so long that actually if they wanted to roll this shit out in India, the Indians wouldn't have it because they've seen what Gavi's done. They've seen what Bill and Melinda Gates done. They've seen it all. They don't trust it. And I actually think like that's no mistake that particularly here in the UK, the I hate the term BAME. It does my head in, but it's the term that they keep using. So
what is it?
BAME. So what is it? It's black ethnic minority and minority ethnic. So black Asian minority ethnic, right? Not white, basically. They're refusing it. They're refusing it in really big, really big groups. And so they've actually done this thing on British TV where they've got lots of black celebrities to come out. It makes you feel sick, honestly.
Yeah.
Just saying, look, we want you to have it, you know, please, we want you to live, get the jab. And it's just embarrassing. One guy called Lenny Henry, who's normally advertising hotels, but now he's telling people about vaccines. But they're being focused on now because they're refusing to take it. And the reason they've refused to take it is because they've been shit on for a long time. And so they don't trust the government. And whereas, you know, your British white folk who've had it dead easy, kind of like, yeah, be all right. Because they've never seen anything. They don't distrust. And it's really strange to see, I have to say. And it's kind of surprised me. And what surprised me more is the right of politics, which is generally perceived to be more authoritarian, they're the ones fighting back. And the left of politics, so in the UK, your Labour Party voters, which would be Democrat voters in the United States, are the ones that are going along with it and supporting vaccine passports and supporting lockdowns and more draconian measures and kids wearing masks in school.
Oh.
And so it's very strange. Like the whole thing's flipped. And I'm kind of spending, like we were talking off air at the start, like I'm kind of like looking around going, man, like where is everyone that used to see through this shit? Like you've all just buried yourself behind the sofa.
And it's left us, in another way, it's left us sticking up.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, all that. That's, yeah, maybe we'll go with that. It's a better way of doing it, better way of saying it. But I think a lot of it is kind of responsibility. No one wants responsibility. And here in England, particularly in the education system and everything, and I know the US is the same and lots of other countries in Europe are the same, where you're not responsible for anything anymore. So, you know, Hillary lost, oh, I need a safe space. She's a demon. What do you mean you need a safe space? But no one wants to take responsibility. No one wants to you know, control their own health, for instance. Like, so all of a sudden it's public health now. It's not my health. And so now they're saying that was like 80% of people that have died of COVID were obese. Okay, so whose fault's that? Like, is anyone going to be responsible for their own health? No. And so a lot of it is almost trained people to look elsewhere, to be told what to do and for their safety. And that's happened over a period of years in the UK, and I think we're just seeing the fruits of it. Where, for me, like if I'm wrong about COVID and I don't get the vaccination and I get COVID and I'm dying in a bed in a hospital and I've got a thing down my throat, that's on me. That's my fault. I didn't think it was real and I didn't get the vaccine. It would have saved my life, and so it's on me. So I take responsibility for that as I'm, you know, dying a horrendous death. But if I get the vaccine, I don't ask any questions. I just get it jabbed in my arm because Lenny Henry told me to. And then I'm lying in a hospital bed and I've had an adverse reaction and I'm dying because of the vaccine. That's not on me anymore. That's on Matt Hancock. That's on Lenny Henry, who told me to take it. That's on the government. That's on Pfizer. You know, that's on whoever. And over a period of years, Britain's become weak and no one wants to take responsibility for themselves. And it's really interesting, actually. I've seen a couple of things with the masks because, again, no one's liable for that. So the government tells me to wear a mask. Well, okay, if me wearing a mask causes a problem for me, are you going to take responsibility for that? No. Okay. Is the guy in the shop who's telling me to put it on, is he going to take responsibility for anything bad that happens to me? No. Right, okay. Is anyone going to take any responsibility for anything? Nope. And that's this country now, unfortunately.
Atlas Shrugged, baby. I mean, that meme where they got the, I think it was 1984, Fahrenheit 451 and Atlas Shrugged, kind of all the circles overlapping and then in the middle as you are here. I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore. And I mean, I feel like the UK isn't alone in that sense. I mean, Graham might be onto something when he talks about the EU thing. EU has always been ahead of the West, I feel like, when it comes to fascism.
Well, there was a part with your vaccine manufacturer, too. The AstraZeneca was supposed to pair up with Merck. Now, what happened to Merck in this whole fucking thing? You haven't heard a word about Merck in this whole thing for some reason. But they paired up with Oxford instead. So people were suggesting there's something going on there with the UK and the EU and Oxford instead of Merck. Or
interesting, you know, thing is Merck's the biggest vaccine manufacturer on the planet.
And I wondered about what you thought about... How did the media allow, like, even in the UK, as soon as you guys started doing it, they started saying, okay, if you have allergies, you better not take this. Like, they allowed in the media for the first little while a bunch of adverse reactions, and there was a bunch of fear. And I mean, I've got my theories, but why do you think they allowed a lot of that to come out? And it seems to me like they've sort of clamped down, or they've tightened up their narrative on the reactions.
I think a couple of reasons. One being that they need to have some.
Yeah,
I think if you had no reactions and no bad things were happening,
you wouldn't be brave.
People would start to smell a rat on that a little bit and just go, well, "Hang on, like that's quite hard to believe." So the deaths, they kind of keep quiet. To be fair, it doesn't really make mainstream, and if it does, it's always followed up by
"but." But yeah,
it wasn't connected. All right, he took it and died within 25 minutes. Not connected. Okay, but then they let a few out. So there's like the guy who had these horrible skin rashes and stuff like that, and these sort of things. They just let a little bit out, and I think it's almost like kind of so that when people go, well, there's adverse reactions, you go, yeah, well, of course there are. But I mean, it's just like a couple of skin things.
But I'll be brave. So it gives people the opportunity to be brave.
Well, this is another thing. Like, this whole thing is almost, I saw a guy called Adam, he tweeted saying that basically the Rona has given weak people a sense of belonging, or a sense of being. Yeah. And it's kind of has been a bit like that, really, where it's almost like, I lived through Corona. Yeah, but so did everyone else, mate. So that it's almost like they're trying to compete with great grandpa who lived through the Luftwaffe bomb in London. You know, so yeah, but I had my thing. I lived through coronavirus. Do you know what I mean? Like I hear it compared to World War II all the time. It's like the biggest challenge since World War II, and it's like, well, not really, because if you turn the television off during the Blitz, or you turn the radio off, bombs would still be dropping everywhere. You'd still look out your window and go, oh, the pub's gone. But here, if you turn the TV off, where are all the dead people? Like, genuine question, where are they? Why aren't I dead? I should be dead. I've never done anything. I've never gone along with any of it. And like, I live in a tiny village. So I'm in a city at the minute in the studio, but I live in a tiny village about 7 or 8 miles outside the city. So everyone knows everyone. Right, everyone knows everyone. So I started doing a little bit of a search, and I'll see, like, from my postcode in my village, how many deaths there were. Nine people in my village died of coronavirus. No, they didn't. So it's almost like, not only are you inflating figures with a guy falls off a ladder, bangs his head, he died of COVID. That happened in England. But I just think they're making it up as well. Because no one in my village has died. Like I say, everyone knows everyone. Everyone knows everyone. But yeah, it says on the government website, 9 people in my village.
Yeah.
Well, so I wonder if they're doing the same thing here. I know 2 people personally. And I mean, I don't even know that many people. I'm not like, most people I know are on the internet. But I got a couple of guys that work with me. And I mean, here's the other thing. I've only got 10 guys that work with me. Okay. So we're talking about a sample size of 11 guys. Okay. Out of 11 guys, 2 of them in the last year had relatives die. One, I believe, was a car accident, and the other one was a massive heart attack. Both of them got letters in the mail from the hospital being notified that these deaths were going to be used. And it even said in the letter that it was because the hospital would get money.
Jesus. At least they're honest.
Well, the federal health authority said that at the beginning. We're going to count it if you're tested within 28 days, we're going to count it positive. I mean, they've changed the way they count the deaths. I mean, I addressed this in the email. They won't answer those kind of questions. They will not answer those. But again, it's revelation. It's like control. You're telling me this and nobody gives a shit that you're going to recount them this way. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it's well, in the UK it was 28 days, and then they went up to 60 days and more. So, but what people don't understand is that you would tell them a scenario where, you know, like the ladder guy, like he had to get a test for work. He tested positive, nothing wrong with him, and then a month and a bit later, he fell off a ladder at work, 12 foot, bang, cracked his head, and he was COVID death.
Oh.
And you're just like, but I mean, that made it into the press as well. That actually made it into the news, that, and you could see people going, oh, that's bad, isn't it? It's like, but what, like, that's happening all the time. Like, and I'm the same as you. Like, I know two people, right, that had relatives that died. One guy's an old friend of mine from my old band days. His uncle died. His uncle had long-term cancer, had outlived the amount of time he was meant to live. So I think they said, like, he had 6 weeks left, and he probably lived best part of 3 months, and then he died, right? They put COVID on the death certificate. That family then contested it because, as far as they were concerned, that was a disgrace, because the guy fought valiantly against cancer for years, and then he succumbed to it in the end. And so he died bravely, and for you to just put COVID on it is a disrespect to him, right? And the other guy was a lad a couple of years above me in school. His dad died. And I saw it all over Facebook, because where I'm from is only a small place, so everyone was saying, oh my God, have you heard? And he private messaged me saying he didn't die of that. He was like, he didn't die of that at all. And he listed a bunch of things that he died of. He was really unwell. Absolutely nothing to do with that. And again, they contested it as well. And so here I am, you know, in the center of the country, knowing lots of people through the internet and going on these marches of tens of thousands of people, getting hundreds of emails a day from, and I know two people, and both of them are contesting it. You know, I mean, it's extraordinary. Like, I've got a friend whose grandma tested positive, right? And she's been ill and she tested positive, sharing a bed with his granddad, who is going through chemotherapy at the moment. And he's negative. He's not got it. And this has gone on for weeks. So she's ill and positive, and he's obviously even more ill in terms of the cancer, but negative. How's that work? They share a bed. That doesn't make any sense. And then, to be honest, like my wife, like, she agrees with me on a lot, and she humors me on a lot, right? And so I was telling her about this testing scam of what was going on months and months ago. And she's kind of like, okay, yeah, nope. But probably thinking, shut up, Gareth, I don't need to talk about COVID all day. And then she then came into the kitchen, and she was like, I just had a text from two of my mates, like, because my wife by trade is a teacher, but she's at home with a little one at the minute. But two of her former colleagues that she worked at school, she was like, they went for their COVID tests, because you have to get these COVID tests, obviously, for work or whatever. And they queued up. Now, obviously, it's all done through your track and trace thing on your phone, right?
Oh, my
God. They queued up, and they were like, look, and the queue was mental. And they went, screw this. We'll come back maybe a little bit later tonight when the queue's gone down, because I'm not standing here for 2 hours.
They got a test in the mail positive.
They got a text within 45 minutes saying that they'd both tested positive.
Oh,
right?
My God.
So that's when, like, my wife was like, this is crazy. I was like, yeah, I told you that. I've been getting emails from people telling me that's what was happening. But so even there, then going, like, they at this point were like, they believed it, you know, yeah, well, wear a mask in the shop. Yeah, this is bad. So then these things happen. So this comes back to your question of you know, how do I see it unraveling? Because these two women aren't in any way into this arena. They're not into really questioning government and stuff. It's just kind of, you know, I'm all right. I'll get on with my job and I'll pay my mortgage and I might, you know, go for a Sunday roast with my family on a Sunday. And that's their kind of life. So for them then to go, well, hang on a minute. Like, I used to laugh at conspiracy theories, tinfoil hat, lizard, all that sort of stuff. And but actually, like, it pinged me in on my mobile phone, and then but I didn't take a test. So how am I positive? So now I have to self-isolate for 10 days because I've had a positive test, but I didn't take a test. And you're like, yeah, so that happened to you and how many others?
And I know somebody personally, two people, I think locally, that same thing happened. They left, they didn't go there. The next day they got it in the mail saying they're positive. And this happened in the States quite a bit as well. So again, you're 5% positives. How many of those are actually negatives? I mean, it's unbelievable that this is still happening. Did you ever look into Kerry Mulison, how he died or what, how he died, like, in 2019? I mean,
it was very, very convenient, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I must admit, like, I don't know. So yeah. It's, you know, it's a conspiracy theory, but I know, think, but like,
I haven't looked into it at all, really, but
he dies of a respiratory illness.
Really?
Months before. Yeah, it was pneumonia, wasn't it? Yeah. So he dies of pneumonia.
Right before pneumonia went extinct. What are the chances?
Oh, just, yeah. I mean, he was one of the last people to get it, actually, poor bloke.
He could have just held on a few more weeks.
But then it comes into that thing, you know, like the coincidence theory. So I say, right, okay, so if Kerry Mullis was alive, would this PCR scan be happening? Well, no, it wouldn't. It wouldn't, because the inventor who won a Nobel Prize for it, so, you know, you'd listen to him, would be coming out saying everything he said before, which was, no, this isn't to be used for testing for infectious diseases. That's not what it does. And so he would dismantle that PCR. But because he's not here, here we are with the PCR. So, like I say, I don't know what happened, but it's hella good timing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's mind-boggling. So what are you working on? You got, Darren mentioned something about a book, and you got your podcast and all that. We don't want to keep you too much longer, but make sure you talk about all that.
Well, I do a bit of everything, really. So I'm running Dad's bookshop at the minute. So I'm kind of doing that, and then I do podcasts and stuff with Rich. Obviously, I'm filming a series called The Walk. We did a first series of that, but we're doing a second series of that, which we start filming in about 2 weeks.
What's that?
And that's in Wales. That one. So we did England the first series, and then we go to Wales for the second series. But Wales is under different stuff. It's a bit more draconian than England, so that could be interesting. But the premise of the series is basically, there's quite a lot of walking series on UK TV. There's one called Walking Through History, and it's a guy called Tony Robinson, who's a Blairite, pain in the ass. But the series is good. It's just that when he interviews people, it's, you know, Professor McPherson giving you the state's version of everything.
Yeah, right.
And when he does talk to someone that's a little bit out there, or just, you know, he's just dead patronizing, and he annoys me. So I was like, I really want to make this series, but I want to make a series that's like walking through an alternative history.
Nice.
So I want to talk to people about UFOs and crop circles and all this kind of stuff. And rather than, you know, talk about just bog standard stuff, let's go crazy. Do you know what I mean? Let's talk about stuff. So on one of the episodes in this one, we're climbing Snowdon, and we're talking to a guy that takes photos of UFOs up Snowdon, climbs up, takes photos, got loads of footage of all this kind of stuff. It's just, it's different. Like, let's talk about it. And also what we do is we actually do the walks. So where on a lot of these series, it's kind of like, so I'm just going to walk now to meet Dave Pierce, who's going to talk about blah, blah. And then they
turn
around.
You get out of the car, you turn around, yeah.
Yeah. Get back in the Range Rover and off to the next bit, yeah. So it's like, I'm doing it. And so when we did the first series, like, there's one bit, it was about 29 miles, and it's like, it's in Derbyshire, which is like, and it's like that. So by the end, honestly, I was trying to present, and I was all over the place. And I was trying to speak, and I was like, Firth of Forth? That's in Scotland. I meant the fourth countess of, and in the end, I was just like, I finished the line, and then I said to Rich, I said, I'll do that bit again. And he's like, he's directing it. He was like, you ain't doing that again. That's perfect. You've just walked 29 miles in ridiculous heat. You struggling to speak because you're knackered. It's real. We'll keep it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. And then after that, then we launched something called Right Now, which is a new show here in Iconic. And we've got a proper studio set. Because what I found a lot of is, like, there's so much good information in the mainstream. I'm sorry, there's so much good information in the alternative media. And the mainstream looks good. And so people tend to take the mainstream more seriously because it just looks better. And they ignore really good facts because it's done over Zoom or whatever. So it's like, let's try, if we can, and create something so that we can put out an alternative media. Because apart from InfoWars, really, there isn't a really good-looking studio that's like, you know, the bee's knees. So we've built a studio here that just looks, you know, like a mainstream studio. And it's kind of, you know, we want to do it in such a way that it's taken more seriously, guys. So
is that for Iconic then?
For Iconic, that was the thinking behind it. And so we're going to put out that new show as probably as a lost leader a bit. So that will go out free to air. Because obviously Iconic is a subscription-based channel. And the reason it's subscription-based is we don't want to be like the mainstream media where we rely on adverts Big Pharma, for instance. Yep. And then the other side of it is we don't want it to be a situation where you've got backers and investors. Because then, you know, if I find out that, hang on, this investor, well, he's up to no good, and I'd like to kind of try and feature this on the Right Now show, and then all of a sudden my brother's knocking on the door going, mate, if we feature him, he's going to pull funding and the channel's done.
No, you got to be, it's got to be people based. It's got to be your listener based.
It's got to be straight to the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the big lessons we've learned over the last couple of years. And then the other one is that the days of free are over. And if we want to compete with $1 billion fucking budgets, we need at least a couple of bucks, and things need to be subscription based, and we need to have that audience participation on that side of it. Otherwise, we're just going to get blown out of the water, or we're going to get kicked off to this and kicked off of that. And when you start trying to self host stuff, as I'm sure you know, that fucking price tag starts going up fast.
Oh yeah.
So those interviews on your channel then, or that's your own studio then, those interviews on Iconic. I was checking a lot of that out there.
Yeah, so the one with all the lights and stuff, that's, we're kind of rehearsing the Right Now show because we want it to be, you know, light, obviously. And this is like a little podcast room, but I'll show you, right? So that wall's not real. It's in front of a normal thing. So it was just like a meeting room. And so when we built the studio for Right Now, we had one extra one of these walls, and these bricks are like maybe like that thick, and but just put on. I mean, if it fell down, I'd be dead. But it's put on like a wood background, and so they'd measured the studio, but they'd measured it wrong. So that we had this big wall, and it was like, well, we need to take it away with us. So I was like, I'll have it for my studio. So we just chucked that there. Yeah. So we've got a studio in Derby, which is it's perfect, really, because if you got a map of England and you went bang and put your finger in the middle, you'd probably either hit me or be just over there a bit. So it's perfect in terms of getting guests and
awesome
and having people all over the country, and we're just trying to create something
that's great, you know.
Yeah, because it's kind of, we got to a point, me and my brother, where I mean, he's the business minded one, I'm not, you know, like
you're the entertainer.
Yeah, I'm just a chilled out entertainer, but no, I don't I just don't, you know, money and business is not for me. So he takes care of that side of it. That's his thing. He's very good at that. And we basically just realized that we were moaning for years about the mainstream media and how the media is corrupt and how the media is funded by Big Pharma and how it's just a propaganda mouthpiece for the government and all this sort of stuff. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, but why don't you do it differently then? And so that's the plan. And there's, you know, there's stuff on the channel that's not necessarily up my street. You know, and that's the whole point of it, like of just having stuff that's different. And there's documentaries and there's yoga and there's cookery programs and there's just all sorts, but it's all just alternative.
That's great. Yeah, that's fantastic. Awesome. I was wondering how that started off, so that's good to know.
Yeah, we encourage all our listeners to go check out Iconic. Big thanks to you, Gareth, for coming on the show.
It's been nice to meet you.
It's been nice to meet you.
It's been great. It's been, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm going to go out walking tomorrow. I'm going to do a 34 miler. That's my thing.
Excellent.
Yeah, I know. Cause we start filming the walk, in a couple of weeks, and I went on this London protest on the 20th. Right. And I probably only walked about 15 miles or something like that, mate. I couldn't walk for days afterwards.
Yeah.
And
practice.
I was like, but when we start filming the walk, like it's like 25 miles on Monday, 25, it's basically about 25 mile average, every one. So it's like 25 miles on a Monday, 25 miles on a Wednesday, 25 miles on a Friday, and then the same the next week. And I was like, mate, I'm going to, no chance. So I'm going to hit the peaks tomorrow and start training.
Right on.
Walking. Yeah,
excellent.
Man. Get some vitamin D.
Yeah, that's right. We'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and we'll put links to your Twitter and everything else in the show notes, and hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
I'd love to, mate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, okay, guys. Have a good weekend.
See ya, and you. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
And that was our first hour with Gareth Icke. Fantastic. What'd you think, Darren?
Great. Great. It's fine. Great to finally talk to Gareth. He seemed like he'd be a fantastic chat from our back and forth on Twitter and DMing and stuff like that. And he did not disappoint.
Like I said, it was really refreshing hearing what he had like to say.
Like a British grammarian.
I know. It's like the I don't know, man. It seems so similar to what we're going through. So, we, in the second half, man, it gets hot too. We talk about getting into Kerry Mullis and the PCR fraud and how these public service officers and the new police and Now that's changed over the last few years. And the too big to fail, the urban versus rural, plausible deniability, pathogenic priming, and class warfare, of course. And then Darren goes on a rant about the challenges of traveling during this. And what do we do from here? And how bad this is going to get? And how to use the exemption and not fake our way out of this? Those are some of the things we chat about in the second half. It's great. Appreciate you supporting the show. And if you want to get that,
head over to GrandAmericaOutlaw.ca. If you guys want to get the second half, all these shows that we're doing, as well as support our work. We don't do ads. We don't do any of that other stuff because we don't want to get shut down. What we do is self-host all this stuff so that with a little luck, it never gets taken down and you guys will always have access to it. All that stuff costs money. We don't just get to pay Blueberry or one of these people. We have to pay for the servers that host the chats and the social media and the podcast and all that stuff that includes the regular Grand America show is all backed up on our own servers. That all costs money.
And next week we have an unbelievable chat with
True Ott.
It's mind-blowing. It connects a million dots with this whole thing, all the way down from Operation High Jump, all the way to Operation Great Reset.
Here's what we got. You got Gareth Ike this week. You got True Ott next week. And you got Andy Wakefield the week after.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a fabulous show with Andy. Fabulous show with True. We've already recorded. This is a great show. Never been a better time to sign up for Plus. Sign up this week. Get those extra shows. We love you, motherfuckers. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.
Policy papers behind enemy lines, tension builds, a cell phone rings, a bomb drops in a city street sea of iPod noise. Don't get comfortable, free thinkers. Don't get comfortable, free thinkers. If the digital revolution still got a pulse, revive it and make it a reality. I've hacked into a politician's password and transfer money to several overseas accounts. And as we speak, a supercomputer project is in the works. And if it works, we'll use it to point and click our way to some sort of truth. Either you're in or out, are you game, or is the game over?
This must be a glitch in the matrix. This must be a glitch in the matrix, a revolutionary dream. It's me versus the machines.
Go! Watch out for them laser beams. Climb to the top of the pyramid scheme. Capitol Hill's getting steeper and steeper. Meanwhile, the deck gets deeper and deeper. Don't get comfortable, free thinkers. Cause it's gonna take more than hand and eye coordination on your PlayStation. It's gonna take mind elevation.
There must be a glitch in the matrix. There must be a glitch in the matrix. A revolutionary dream. It's me versus the machine.
Go! Breaking from my routine, I dive into my computer screen. Swimming in a sea of zeros and ones, trying to put together two and two, but I keep getting blind. Trying to weave through all the lines, from the bad guys in suits and the neckties. Help me find the oracle, she has the answer. There must be a glitch in the matrix. There must be a glitch in the matrix. A revolutionary train. Rage against the machine. Don't get comfortable, free thinkers. Rage against